This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. And I've talked about spiritual warfare from time to time, and we are in an intense battle these days, and I encounter it quite a bit personally. I'll share one story. So in 2019, we were doing a little baby startup church in Colorado Springs, and I was going to do a message on spiritual warfare, and I was going to get all into our authority in Christ and various areas of it. And as we're getting ready to start the morning, everything just went shut down. I mean, nothing was working. All of a sudden, my phone wasn't working, and mics weren't working. The guy on the audio board was confused. And so the enemy obviously doesn't like it when we start bringing stuff up like this, because he just wants us to kind of lay back in the weeds and let him kick butt, which is what he'd been doing a lot of. And so I go through a lot of spiritual warfare personally. And earlier this week, I fell into a depression, just low, really low depression. And I was kind of confused, and it came out of nowhere, and it was going on for a bit. And then I was starting wondering if it was like brain chemistry stuff or whatever it is. And then the thought came to me to renounce it. So I did a simple prayer saying something like, in the name of Jesus, I renounce depression, I renounce anxiety and anything connected with it, and my mood lifted. And then I was doing pretty good, and then about an hour later, it came back again. I did it again. I renounced depression, and then my mood lifted again. I was good the rest of the day. So I do not, hear me out here, I am not saying that every time we go through depression, that it's spiritual warfare. Far from it. There are a lot of different reasons for depression. Discouragement, hopelessness, situations that are difficult, a lot of different reasons. There can be brain chemistry issues. A lot of sugar can cause depression. There are a lot of reasons for it. But the thing is, we have to realize the enemy can attack our emotions and our mind. And I don't know how he does it, but he does do it this way. And there's been times I've been just absolutely fine, and all of a sudden I'm getting hit with this anxiety, and I have nothing to be anxious about. It's like, what is going on? And then, that's what this is. And then, so I'll start praying something to the effect, in Jesus' name, I renounce anxiety, and I command any evil spirits coming against me to go where Jesus sends you to go. So we have to be prepared in these dark times that we live in to stand up and take up our authority in Christ, and prayer is always so very important. So right after Paul gives us the armor of God in Ephesians 6, then he brings it all together with prayer. Prayer holds the whole thing together, and in prayer, we receive discernment and wisdom from the Lord. Prayer is so critical in spiritual warfare. So I wanted to offer that to you, because I'd be willing to bet there's some of you, or a few of you at least, that are going through something like this, and you haven't thought about this angle. So it's not always going to be a chemical and emotional thing. We have to also remember that we have an enemy that comes against us and wants to keep us bound up. And there's times I'll start feeling this bitterness rising up in me. It's like, this is not me. I don't want anything to do with this. And then the Holy Spirit reveal to me, this is warfare. And then I'll pray something like, in the name of Jesus, I renounce hatred. I renounce bitterness. I renounce any and all attacks of the enemy. And where does the enemy attack a lot with this is in marriage. And a couple can be just kind of going along. Everything seems fine. But then one of them gets triggered. And the next thing you know, you're at each other's throat. It's like, where the heck did this come from? Spiritual warfare. I'll tell couples that I'm working with, never, ever forget spiritual warfare. Remember the Bible from Genesis 3 all the way through Revelation. It is a book of war. We are in an intense time of war, as I mentioned quite a bit at the start of these broadcasts. So equipping you in spiritual warfare and other things is one of the things I want to do in these broadcasts. And, of course, we talk about pornography quite a bit, and I brought up the occult and suicide and other areas, real-world issues that people are struggling with. And last year, some 50,000 people committed suicide in the U.S. There's a lot more going on than just chemical balance issues. And I know because I've had to deal with stuff like that. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So equipping you for spiritual warfare should be your church's part of their mission these days. You should be hearing about this often, and you should be hearing prayer meetings at your churches often and attending them. So I'm going to read several news clips, headlines. These are all in the last week or so. Tulsa police arrest a local pastor on first-degree rape and child sexual abuse. This was from KRMG Tulsa. The next one is from Denton, Texas. Youth director at Denton Church arrested for possession of child porn. Next one, former youth pastor sentenced for child porn charge. This is in East Aurora, I believe in Illinois. Next one, Fox 4 Dallas. Former youth pastor who impregnated 14-year-old girls gets a 50-year sentence. Next one is from the Roy's Report, and this is a quote. The former pastor and former dean at the Master's Seminary, Steve Lawson, had a 5-year relationship with a woman in her late 20s. Phil Johnson, an elder and pastor at John MacArthur's Grace Community Church, stated in a post on X, which has since been deleted. And then New York Daily News, a New York pastor was sentenced to federal prison after admitting to downloading child porn. These are all within 1 week. And I bring these up to make you aware that the epidemic of sexual sin is not going away. It is continuing to increase. The enemy is continuing to destroy lives. No church can justify not talking about these issues. I'm sure none of these pastors or youth directors who end up getting arrested woke up one day and said, you know what, I think I'm going to watch illegal pornography and just destroy my life, destroy my family, and destroy the lives of others. There is a gradual decline, and Satan knows how to put doorways into the internet in dark places, such as the porn realm, where he ensnares people in that stuff. I'm talking about the child porn. That stuff is evil. You get down to that and you talk about bondage, it's just horrific. You do not want to mess with that stuff. And it is so critical, and it just grieves me when I hear of pastors who are arrested for these things, and because you know the enemy has his guns trained on them, because he knows if he can hit a pastor and take him down, he can rock a church hard, because then there's a crisis that goes on in the church, and a lot of grieving and confusion and all that goes along with that. So my friends, whoever's listening, do not run away from this issue. And that this is one of our biggest problems, is we run away from these issues instead of confronting them full force. I'm sure the churches who had these leaders did not think this was going on in their church. just like a lot of leaders do not think that around 70% of the men are viewing porn or widespread numbers of women and youth. It is dangerous to continue to let this stuff sit on the sidelines and ignore it. You can't ignore it. So I'm going to get into change direction now, and I'm going to get into Matthew 24. And what kind of triggered this was the recent events in the Middle East and the wars been getting hot. And so I'll begin at verse 3. As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not ashamed or alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another." We are there right now. Ever since COVID, there's been a stream of news articles and announcements of people who are believers, even pastors, who have just said, "You know what? I give up. I'm walking away from Christianity and from the faith." And I saw an article just last week where one of the founders of the Newsboys, a well-known Christian band, one of the founders walked away from the faith, checked out, and now he's an atheist. One of the founders of DC Talk, he walked away from the faith. He called it deconstructing, which is just whatever, some dumb, lame 21st century way of saying you're walking away from, you're tearing your faith apart. And yeah, there may be instances where we need to take an examination of where am I with God, but you don't, this is so very dangerous, the times we're in right now. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. We see hatred rampant. It doesn't take much on social media to get people just squaring off each other, and I'm talking Christians too. "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, because lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So there is no out in Jesus' timeline in Matthew 24, and he gives another timeline in Luke 21. What I'm saying here is there's no rapture pictured in these sections of Scripture. I've read through Revelation. I find a lot of instances where believers are there right in the middle of the tribulation. I know some people say that, well, they came to Christ during that time, and maybe, but I just can't find any evidence that we're not going to be there during the tribulation. And hear me out. I'm all for the rapture. If Jesus says, "Let's go, hey man, let's boot, let's go." But what I'm really concerned about is that there are going to be a lot of people thinking, "Hey, we're going to be rapturing. And if it doesn't happen, what's that going to do to their faith?" And you know the enemy is going to be right there, hitting them, because they will believe, "Hey, this was going to happen. We were going to not have to be here for this suffering." And in Matthew 24, Jesus clearly said, "The one who endures to the end will be saved." Endurance is critical right now. And lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. What's going on is people's hearts are turning into a rock in that scenario. And what kind of things turn people's hearts cold? Sin. This is the wrong time to be in bondage to any kind of sin. Sin will turn your heart to stone. Pornography, sexual sin will turn your heart to a rock, especially the longer you go. And we have people who come to us for help, in their 60s and 70s. They've been messing with that stuff for decades. And even I'm talking church leaders too. And their hearts are hard. That is one thing I pray a lot. God, please keep my heart soft. Keep my heart tender. Steel me in your strength. Give me a forehead like flint, like we read in Scripture. But please, please, please keep my heart soft. That's something we should be praying every single day. Bitterness hardens people's heart. Unforgiveness, bitterness is very dangerous. So if you're holding on to, if you know God's telling you to forgive somebody and you're refusing to, you're like opening the door for the enemy and saying, hey, turn my heart into a rock, and he will poison you. Don't let bitterness have a grip. And if you have, then whatever is blocking you from releasing that, then you can pray through it and then forgive or release it. And as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, the enemy knows how to attack with hatred. So sometimes you have to just stand up against it. Lies harden the heart. We live in a post-truth culture. Both presidential candidates are lying and over-exaggerating. How do you, 100 years ago, neither one of these people would have been in the election for all the lies they're telling. People when to put up with that, but we've lost our moral compass as a country. And both sides are like trying to make up for it. We live in a post-truth culture. And then when you read that 10% of Christians read their Bible every day, those 90% that aren't in the truth all the time are going to be very susceptible to the lies from the enemy. We have to be in God's Word. We have to be in the truth every single day. And hopelessness will harden the heart. And part of that can be that whatever suffering you're going through, this is hopeless, God is not with me, and there we are with lies again. So you have to be very careful. Where is your heart today? Is there something you're in bondage to? Don't mess around with it. Get help. You can contact us for help, or you can go to a good friend or a brother or a counselor or whoever, but do not sit there letting this thing eat you up. So let me now go to Luke 21, beginning in verse 25. Jesus says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear. I'm going to park there for a moment. Right now, sales of psychiatric medications are through the roof. For anti-anxiety meds, a lot of youth are said to be getting on this stuff, people in their 20s struggling with anxiety. And then Jesus says, people fainting with fear. Fear is a big problem. Ever since COVID came on the scene, you can almost cut it with a knife in the air. People fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And then I'm going to drop to 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Dissipation is getting drunk and falling into sexual sin, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Stay awake. This is the wrong time to be choked with the life of entertainment and pleasure and seeking to fill yourself with the things of this world and binging on sporting events for hours and hours and hours. I mean, I know we're in the football season right now, but, you know, how's your prayer life? Jesus said that one of the key things here in these verses that praying that you may have strength to escape all these things. If you have no prayer life when all of this hits, the challenge is going to be, is your life really going to be founded on the rock like Jesus talked about? Is it founded on the rock today? Meaning, are you rooted and grounded deeply in him? Or are you playing church and playing games with God? Stay awake. Stay alert. Man, we got to be getting close to where the tribulation is going on with all the stuff that's happening right now, blowing up in the Middle East and the horror of the hurricane and the natural disasters and the war in Ukraine and the way things are starting to piece together with China and Russia and Iran and North Korea budding up. These are all looking like we're going to be walking into that. And my concern is, as I mentioned before, and I'm going to reemphasize, you got to be ready to go to the end. You got to be ready to endure. There isn't, and I say it again, there isn't anything I see in Scripture guaranteeing that we will eject in a rapture before the tribulation hits. So where are you today? This is a critical question every believer has to ask. Do you really have a strong prayer life with God? When you go through spiritual warfare, and you will if you're a blood-bought son or daughter of the living God who is serious about their relationship with God, how are you doing with that? Are you wilting? Do you even know that that's what's going on? Are you just kind of floundering? And so reach out and get help. But we have to be warning people and equipping people. That's what Jesus did. If everything was okay, and if in both of these passages in Matthew 24 and Luke, if there was going to be a rapture, why wouldn't he have made it clear in there and through the book of Revelation 2? I just can't find a timeline for that. So that we have to be aware that endurance, like he said in Matthew 24, and one of the keys of endurance is rest. A lot of believers that I talk to in counseling are just worn out and burn out, and they've caught the spirit of the age, which is go, 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 and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, being hyper-connected to their phone and plugged in and always checking their phone and checking email and watching YouTube videos or watching whatever. And a lot of the surveys or research has come out that smartphone addiction causes depression and anxiety. And think about what you're doing when you're on a smartphone or on Facebook, for example. Scroll, scroll, scroll. What are we looking for? It's a dopamine hit. Same thing when it mimics when somebody is looking for a porn hit. Scroll, scroll, scroll. They're looking for something that's going to excite them or give them a hit. But of course, that stuff never satisfies. And I get concerned when I see that the average American spends 4.5 hours on their smartphone a day. And I can almost guarantee you most of those people probably aren't even spending 40 minutes a day in prayer. Prayer is so critical. Being in God's Word is so critical. Being connected with your brothers and sisters is critical. And Jesus mentioned praying for strength. And there's been so many times in my life, even before a ministry event, many times I don't feel too good. I feel wiped out, and then I pray for strength, and Jesus gives me just what I need right before I go on. So I want to finish out with reading Isaiah 40, 28-31 to you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a promise. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then quickly, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is an invitation for God for every believer to turn to him and say, I'm weak. Strengthen me now. And that's what he's saying in these warnings. Come to me, walk with me, stay close to me. Endurance is important. Prayer is important. Setting aside the things of this world is critical. Thank you, my friends, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Genung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.